Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Bartrand. Coming up, the hours wind down to finding out who Kamala Harris is picking to be her running mate. And license plate reading cameras are coming to LA Metro buses. But first, at least three homes, probably many more, have burned down in a wildfire raging in the Shandon Hills area of San Bernardino. County Fire spokesperson Eric Sherwin on the scene talked with KCAL News.
We have over 40 engines, hand crews, dozers, and aircraft totaling over 200 personnel on scene. Unfortunately, the reality is we're dealing with tinder dry fuels. The temperature here at the command post when we got here at the start is 109, currently showing 107 degrees, and that's before you put on all the gear and start engaging the fire. So not surprised that we're seeing fire behavior of this magnitude at this incident.
KCAL helicopter reporter Desmond Shaw above and cataloged the destruction, saying that one home was saved by firefighters.
The neighboring home burned all the way down to the foundation, and now the other neighboring home as well. So it's been extremely stressful, I'm sure, if the homeowners are watching here at the end of Vista Drive, at the end of this cul-de-sac. In fact, every home surrounding this home has burned now. This was one of the very first ones that we saw here just above them, and now just to the east of them and to the south on the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. All of their neighbors have burned to the ground.
Wow.
It's just so awful.
Evacuation has been ordered for all residents living on the south side of Ridgeline Drive. Also, people living on the north side and north of Edge Hill Road, west to and including Beverly Drive and east of Circle Road, also told to get out. Evacuees urged to go to Marshall Elementary School. The FBI has busted what prosecutors say was an organized cockfighting ring in San Bernardino. Emily Valdez reports.
The FBI arrested four people, one still on the loose after an undercover sting operation.
People bring roosters to fight. Spectators attend the event. Sometimes more than 100 people show up.
Kieran McAvoy is a spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles.
There are parking fees, the cost of $20, I believe that's the same amount as it cost to park your car at Angel Stadium.
Cockfighting, a federal crime, and it's brutal.
What happens is that there's a sharp blade known as a gaff that's usually attached to each of the rooster's legs. It's usually curved. It's approximately an inch and a half in length. And the fights ended in the death of one or both of the roosters.
The defendants face up to 5 years in federal prison. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A disabled man has been stabbed to death at his home in Irvine early this morning. His murderer later shot and killed by police. Karen Adams has more from the scene.
The big question is why? Why the man rammed his minivan into the garage of the victim's home on Whistling Swan around 2 in the morning, go inside, and stab him to death? Lindsay Meyer says his brother-in-law suffered from paralysis and had an around-the-clock caregiver. He says it was a former caregiver who killed him.
Former caregiver from 5 or 6 years ago.
We don't know why he would just act out like this.
No, and there was no indication. Like, my brother-in-law, I talked to him every other day, you know. Not once did he ever mention this guy. He hasn't mentioned that guy to any other family members. Nothing. I mean, literally, when the police mentioned the perpetrator's name, we were totally caught off guard. Like, the guy only worked for him for maybe a month.
Officers found the suspected killer a few blocks away. There was some kind of confrontation, and he was shot and killed.
You'll want to be careful if you are parked in a bus lane. LA Metro moving ahead with plans to use a new automated ticketing system to enforce parking violations in bus lanes and at bus stops. The technology uses cameras that read license plates, going to be deployed on Metro buses. The program expected to generate millions of dollars in revenue is expected to pay for itself. Metro expects more than 100,000 tickets will be issued every year.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
An investigation into the murder of General Hospital actor Johnny Wacker in downtown L.A. is focusing on gang members tied to catalytic converter thefts. This is according to LAPD sources talking to the L.A. Times. Homicide detectives focusing on some distinct facial tattoos of the shooter, one of three men who police say jacked Wacker's car on Hope Street to steal the converter before shooting and killing him back in May. Investigators have released some new pictures of the suspect and their getaway car. You can see them on our website, knxnews.com. People called in hundreds of noise complaints from a music festival. And that's what it sounded like. Most of the complaints coming from Inglewood and El Segundo, blamed on the hard summer music festival at Hollywood Park next to SoFi Stadium. But the noise was heard over a very wide area. One person posting on Reddit lives about 8 miles from the venue, said his walls were shaking. Another from 10 miles away said it was so loud they used their phone to identify the song that was playing. Residents did get a warning. The El Segundo Police Department put out an alert that the festival would be producing music heard throughout the city on Saturday and Sunday. Former attorney for Donald Trump now cooperating with prosecutors in a case against the former president, and the high-profile case involving Tom Girardi is about to start. That's all coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues, but first...
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
We are counting down the hours and the minutes. Very soon we will know. Kamala Harris due to pick her running mate tomorrow, ending a guessing game about who she's going to pick and who's going to be the best candidate. Reuters reported that former astronaut and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly is not being chosen. And that choice is now between Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Joining us now live, L.A.-based Democratic campaign strategist, Derry Schrago. Derry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So
glad to be here.
A fundraising email just sent out from Kamala Harris just a little while ago says, I still have not made my choice. And I roll my eyes because I'm pretty sure she has made the choice. It's just not going to be announced. Would you agree with me? And do you think it is one of those two that are in the final running? Or are we going to be surprised?
Well, you know, I hate to do this, but no, I don't agree with you. She's well known, pardon me, she's well known for taking her time to make decisions. So I would not be surprised if she's still thinking about this. Well, and you had a second question. What was the second question?
The second question is, it's said to be down between Shapiro and Walz. Is it going to be one of those two, or could there be a surprise?
Again, I think there could be a surprise.
Oh,
I love the fact that this is like the biggest thing going for political insiders, right? And rumors are flying all over the place, and sometimes they turn out to be true, and oftentimes they turn out not to be true. And so, no, I'm not sure that in my own mind that it's down to those two. There's some other good people who have been under consideration.
Could somebody recommended that she pick Joe Biden?
Joe Biden would be her running mate?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No.
That would
not going to happen.
That would certainly generate some headlines. So if you were advising her campaign, and if it came down to Shapiro or Walz and not a surprise, who would you recommend? Who gives Democrats the best shot?
Well, look, the truth is, you know, and I've never met either one of them, so I don't know them as people. The truth is that what really matters here are a couple of things. Number one, she has to get along with that person. That's very, very important. And I don't know, I don't know which one of those people she likes more. She's got to live with that person and work with that person for 4 years. The second thing is that, and this is extremely important, that she can't make a mistake. She's only had a few weeks for these candidates to be vetted, and you know, let's hope that she knows everything she needs to know. Some people listening to this will recall that in 1972, the presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket, George McGovern, chose as his vice presidential running mate Senator Tom Eagleton of Missouri, and it was only after the ticket was completed that it was discovered and revealed that Senator Eagleton had undergone a shock therapy for mental health reasons, and he had to pull out of the race. So you know, you can't make a mistake here, and you have to have pick somebody that you're going to live and work with for the next 4 years. Now, does it matter from a strategic standpoint? To some extent, it does. But I would suggest that ordinary working men and women in this country really don't fixate on who the vice president is. It's got to be somebody, the fit has to be a reasonably good one. That's all that matters. It would be nice if it was somebody from the Midwest, because there are 7 states that are considered essential here. And you've got some states, Minnesota, you know, one of the candidates is the governor of Minnesota, is adjacent to Michigan and Wisconsin, so you could make that argument. But Pennsylvania works, and Arizona would work if Kelly is, in fact, is still in contention. It's just tough to know.
All right. Thank you so much. That's L.A.-based Democratic campaign strategist Derry Schrago. Derry, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks.
A former Donald Trump attorney involved in a case stemming from the 2020 election, now cooperating with prosecutors, Jenna Ellis, one of 18 defendants in the Arizona scheme to send fake electors to help Trump overturn his election loss. State Attorney General says she signed a cooperating agreement this morning, and the state is dropping its charges against her. She pleaded guilty last year in the Georgia election interference case, in which Trump was also charged. Jury selection set to begin tomorrow in the embezzlement trial of a now disbarred high-powered L.A. lawyer. Tom Girardi is facing criminal charges for embezzling millions of dollars in settlement funds from his clients. Prospective jurors will be asked about how much they watch true crime TV shows, their social media, and whether they've seen Girardi's estranged wife, Erica Jane, on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Opening statements could begin as soon as tomorrow afternoon.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.